I praise the Lord that there's an answer for this world. I'm glad there is. And I want you to open up to Hebrews 11. And I want to speak to you on what I believe is the secret to a movement. We're talking about a movement wanting to get this whole generation to hear the gospel. And I know my Savior is alive. How many believe He is alive? And so I want to glorify Him for the next few minutes. Hebrews 11:6. By the way, more young people last year killed themselves than what died of COVID in the whole world. So if ever we needed a movement of the gospel, it's now. And I thank God all of you have that vision here at this ministry. I'm amazed the spirit that's in this place and the love you have for our Savior. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible. Say that word, impossible. So if something's impossible, if we don't have it, we better have it then. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm glad God is. How many of you are glad God is? Father, help us to hear from You. Nothing else matters. God, please speak to my own heart as I'm preaching to myself and to these dear folks. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're to understand that God is. There can be no movement without understanding God is. How many believe God is the only answer for our generation? The Savior, the Word of God, is the way, the truth, the life. And I'm glad He is. I'm glad God is. Now, it says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When thou goest out into battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, they seem stronger than me, the enemies more than me. What's the answer? God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now, when you have battles, how many of you have noticed a Christian life is a math class, one problem after the next, right? So what do? You recognize God is over the battles. He's over the exams. He's over the bills. He's over the struggles. He's over the giants that come in your life because God is. I'm so glad for this. God is big. How many of you believe a God who could speak a whole universe into existence is a big God, right? And all He had to do is just say it. And there it was, a beautiful creation. Now, turn to Proverbs 3, and I'm going to show you what He is for you. Thank God it's personal. Thank God when we asked Christ to save us, He became our personal Savior. How many believe that means He cares about every one of us? So in Proverbs 3, look at verses 5, and I'm going to show you the most wonderful, precious truth. And in Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. No, sir, trust in the Lord. Now, I want you to yell it out like you're at a Super Bowl game, because this is more exciting than a blown-up pig being thrown around a football field. All right, trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. All of it. You mean I can trust Him with all of it? Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Why does He want to direct the path of those who acknowledge Him? Because He loves to be acknowledged. And if God loves to be acknowledged and you acknowledge Him, He's going to keep directing you so you can give Him more acknowledgement. And then He says in verses 7 and 8, the most amazing thing. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If we fear God and depart from evil, we're going to have two things happen to us. How many believe every word in the Bible is on purpose? Every word of it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. So every word is on purpose. So I need what you would call somebody that is the class clown here of a guy. Which guy is the class clown? Who do you want me to have up here? Who would you like to see embarrassed? Give me a name.
Josiah,
come on up. Josiah is going to illustrate the most amazing thing you could ever hear, all right? Because you're the most amazing person I've ever met in my life, so you're going to illustrate this, all right? Now, it says to you that if you fear God and depart from evil, something's going to happen to you. You're going to have health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Now, we turn the face to the audience. We understand what marrow to the bones is. It's strength. So show them the beef. Go ahead. Okay. There used to be a commercial, where's the beef? But anyway, so so we understand what marrow to the bones is. It's strength, right? So if you fear God and depart from gossip and depart from envy and depart from jealousy, and you fear God and depart from sin, you're going to have strength. So it again. Okay, all right. Now, face me. Now, it does say something here that is true, because how many believe every word of God is true? And it says health to the navel. So what in the world does your belly button have to do with fearing God and departing from evil? Because every Bible verse is true, right? So, in your life right now, you have strength when you fear God and depart from evil. But what does health to the navel mean? I'm going to illustrate. Were you ever in the belly of your mother?
Yes.
Very smart. Okay. You were being formed for 9 months in the belly of your mother, right? And you had nothing to do with it except exist. Mm-hmm. Your mom ate food while you were being formed in the belly. Now, you started out right now as a glob, okay? You can't even recognize your features, but you are there, okay? You were conceived. Now, you're in the belly of your mother, and your mom eats food. Maybe she goes for a quarter pounder with cheese. And the blood meets the quarter pounder with cheese and takes the nourishment, if there's any nourishment, in a quarter pounder with cheese, and begins to form the glob into who you are. By the way, you had nothing. Your mom didn't have to say, all right, come on, liver, more of you. Brain, more of you. All she had to do was eat, and God took the nourishment and forms you in the belly for 9 months, right? How long were you in there, about?
I assume 9 months.
9 months? I just told you that. All right, so now come toward me. You're about a month right now, and I still don't quite recognize you're a human being. They still can't tell you're a human being. All right, come on a little closer. All right, now you're being formed, and now I'm beginning to see some features. All right, you're beginning to see little hands, a little tiny hand or something. And then come a little further. Now, for 9 months, you're being formed. Now, you're at the 8th month right now. Come a little closer. You're now at the 9th month. Now I can see all the forms and features. You are about to be born. Drop into the earth. Okay? And you're now dropped into the earth. I didn't know you were going to do that. All right. You're here. So now scream. Strangest baby I've ever heard in my whole life. But he's here. You're right. You picked the right guy, by the way. If this ever became a picture, they would think he was kneeling before me. All right, thank you. You may rise. Okay. Thank you so much for being an idiot. Now, he was formed perfectly because God took the nourishment that was in the food and through the belly button, through the navel, God was forming him through the nourishment that came there. Now, don't miss this. Because there's something he just taught you that's so wonderful. If God could form you for the first 9 months, don't you think if you fear God and depart from evil, he can bless the rest of your life?
Yeah.
He can guide the rest of your life? Now, how old are you now?
20.
You're 20 years old, and God has a plan for the rest of your days. And if God can form all of you in 9 months through this amazing, miraculous navel that got the nourishment, God is telling us here, fear me all your life, depart from evil, and I'll direct your whole future like I directed your 9 months. Give him a hand. Thank you very much. I hope somebody got a picture of him kneeling before me. I just really do. All right. So God was there in the womb, and he's there for every moment of your life for the rest of your life. How great are thy thoughts unto me more than the sand, the Bible teaches in Psalm 139. So God thought about me more than the sand. Pick up a handful of sand and count every pebble. You say, that would take a long time. But take every pebble of sand on the face of this planet and count every pebble of sand that is on the planet. How many of you would agree that would take a while to count them all? Well, God in heaven has thought about you more than the sand. You say, how could he think about me in the midst of billions of people? How could he think of me billions of times or trillions of times? Because this is the truth. Again, how many believe the Bible's true in this Bible college? Then God says, I have thought about you more than the sand. Take it literally. God, you've had all eternity to think about me. How do I know this? Because before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Even before the foundation of the earth, I've chosen you. What's that mean? There's never been a time God hasn't known you. Now, if you think about that, you're 20 years old, brother. And God, honestly, he has thought about you a whole lot more than you have about yourself. Because he's had all eternity to think about you. You've only had 20 years. So why not give our life to the one who knows us that much? He knew us before the foundation of the earth. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, right? When David defeated Goliath. And I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. God is. Everybody scream it. God is. What I want you to wake up tonight thinking, God is, God is, God is. What I want you to do your whole life is say, God was in the womb with me, but he's in my life now. And he's got a plan for me now. And oh, the enemy tries to fight. There is a God. Listen, God is my strength and power. And he maketh my way perfect. 2 Samuel 22:33. 1 Kings 8:60. Oh, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else. Listen to the scripture. Oh, it's so. I am so glad that God has you in mind. I've been in front of 6 million people. That's about 50 Super Bowl crowds. And doing this thing. And every one of them look different. Every one of them have a different fingerprint. Every one of them have different. I mean, think of it. All of you have two eyes, a nose, a mouth, lips, ears. But yet, every single person looks different. Isn't that amazing? Of all these people that on this earth, nobody looks the same. Now, if God created you in his image, and you're here, and you look unique and different, don't you think he cares about you personally? How many are glad God is interested in you personally? Amen. Now, please don't miss this. I was begging the Lord for something that happened to me. I had my furnace cleaned up in New Hampshire. There was a crack down the side of it. They condemned my furnace. We need furnaces in New Hampshire like you need it in Wisconsin. It gets cold. It gets 30 below zero sometimes for weeks. Your eyelids turn to icicles. How many of you believe we need our furnaces? Well, they had a crack down the side, and the guy that cleaned it said, you got to have this replaced. I said, last time I'll ever have my furnace cleaned. So he said, you got to replace it. I have to condemn this. Had to get a new furnace for $10,000. But how many of you believe there's no shortage with God, right? And so what happened? Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. I began praying for $10,000. I was also praying for a way to get three cameras to film the exhibition, because I had people filming it like this, and it was jumpy. And I was praying for three cameras. I was also praying for a way to preach on the gospel on television of the love of God and the judgment of God, because I had heard a famous speaker, I'm not going to call him a preacher, but a famous speaker that has 60,000 in his church. He claims to be a pastor, and he said, I'd never preach on hell or judgment. Well, how many believe Jesus took our judgment on the cross? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he took my judgment. And I was praying, oh God, is there some way where he's on TV never preaching on judgment that somehow I could announce to the world that God is love, but he's also judgment. And I had no idea how the Lord would answer these prayers. And dear Lord, please provide for the $10,000 for the furnace. I got a total call from a total stranger. He said, are you anywhere near Carrollton, Texas? I said, let me check my calendar, because most of the time I don't know where I'm at now. And I'm so glad to be in Canada today. Thank you so much for bringing me here. So I looked down at my calendar. I was 5 minutes from Carrollton, Texas, my first meeting. I walked in and said, thank you for booking me on a short notice. I walked in the public school gym. Are you ready for this? Three cameras are ready to film it. He said, our movie star canceled. Can we film this? I said, no arguments. So he filmed it. When it was over, he handed me the footage and said, it's all yours. We love what you're doing. There was my first answer to prayer. How many believe God answers prayer? Amen. And so here it comes. Ready? He came to the evening gospel rally. My sermon was on the cross, that God is love, and he's also a God of judgment. This movie producer said, this wasn't the feel-good gospel. This was the truth. Can we air this on TV? I said, no arguments. He put it on TV. Then he handed me a check for $10,000 and paid the furnace. And I asked him, are you an angel? And he did not answer me. Then he disappeared into thin... No, no. I'm kidding. But what are the chances of that happening? God is. God is. We want a movement. Then the nation needs to know God is. Say it loud. God is. Say it again. God is. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to brainwash you that God is. I'm trying to get it instilled in you. So all your life, you're going to wake up in the morning. God, you are. You are. You are. You're the I am God. You're not just the past and the future God. You're Alpha, Omega, beginning and ending. But you're right now for me. Right this moment, you're taking care of me. When I first moved to Tennessee, I'm a member of Temple Baptist. I'm kind of talking fast because that clock is going a lot faster than I wanted to. So you're going to have to bear with me. I'm going fast. So here I am, and I'm at this situation where I moved to Tennessee, and I knew God was leading me to go there. The roof leaked. The inspector didn't inspect the house right. The septic came up through the basement. I got a call from New Hampshire where my house didn't sell for 2 years, so I had a double mortgage. Now, how many of you would agree one mortgage is hard enough? But two mortgages for 2 years, and I had to have $80,000 to break even. I had to have $80,000 to break even. Well, the same God who provided $10,000 can provide $80,000, and if you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Now shout it like you're a charismatic, right? I mean, now charisma, nothing wrong with that. You know, we're to have passion, but I don't believe in all these things they believe in. But what I'm saying is that here it is, and don't miss it. I had to have how much money? To break even. Why don't you just come up and preach the sermon? So I had to break even. I got to have this. So anyway, what happened was amazing. I couldn't get over how God did this. I had a call from somebody. I had just moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, which is 3 hours from Nashville. And I got a strange call from someone, just out of the blue. Would you be willing to come to Nashville and speak? I said, yes, as long as you're not going to tell me what to speak or what not to speak, I'll be there. He gave me an address. I got there from my GPS. I didn't know where I was going. He would not tell me. He said, just come. Okay, I'm coming. I got there, and there was like a factory place. I thought, where is the location I'm supposed to speak? This place is gigantic. And I walked in, would somebody tell me where this address is right here? He said, you're here. I said, yeah, but there's a lot of people here. He said, this is the Grand Ole Opry. And God opened the door for me to speak at the Grand Ole Opry. I did not sing. Because last time I sung, a bunch of cows took off running the other direction. But I got there and I spoke. And then I got a message from somebody after it was all over and I went back home. Thank God he worked in the meeting. And I got back home and somebody said to me, we have a man who wants to support three ministries. I said, well, and you may be one of them that he will support. Do you have a video you can send me? So I sent the video. He saw it. And he said, the guy said he wants to stay anonymous. He doesn't want you to know who he is, but he wants to support you as one of the three missions. Now, 5 weeks went by and nothing happened. On the sixth week, he called me on the phone and he said something amazing. He's decided to support you. And then my bank called me shortly after that and said, there has been an $83,000 deposit in your checking account. I said, would you repeat that one more time? And he did. And God provided that. And I found out, because of the name of his company, that he was actually at the Grand Ole Opry when I spoke there. And God knew in advance everything he was going to do to answer the prayer that had nothing to do with homes. And when I realize it has nothing to do with me, but God is, say God is.
God is.
Say it again.
God is.
Put it in the fly leaf of your Bible. God is.
God is.
That got weak. God's all of a sudden the greatest God in the world when you realize that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why? Because before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Why? Because how great are thy thoughts unto me, more than the sand. Why? He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, and he cares about every detail of our life. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to those who trust in him. Psalm 18:30. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. How many believe he's still the Lord for the United States of America?
Amen.
And how many believe he's still the God for Menominee Falls? And how many believe it makes no difference what the leaders become, how we want godly leaders in this city, but how many believe God still is, if ungodly people are running things, how many believe God is still over all that? And God help us to realize that through God, we can do valiantly, for he is the one who tread down our enemies. Psalm 60:12, Psalm 62:7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, that my refuge is in God. He is always a refuge for you to run to. He'll always be there. You never get a busy signal. Never get, well, I'm working with 4 billion other people. You'll never get a voicemail. You'll never hear him say, push this button, I'll get back with you later. How many of you are glad we have access to him at all times? He is a refuge for us. Trust in him at all times. Psalm 62:8. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, he means stop and think about this. Selah means stop and pause. I am your God. I am. Not just for the Old Testament people, not just for what's going to happen in the millennium. I am here right now at your seat, looking right at you in the eye. And a lot of times, and Pastor, just come up just for a quick second. A lot of times when you shake hands during church, people will come up and shake your hand and do this, watch. Then they shake the neck. And they're looking at the next person. They never look at you in the eye. How many of you are glad God is focused on you and looks right into your very soul? Thank you, Pastor. Will you realize this? The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For the Lord is a great God. Say, great God.
Great God.
Great God. And a great king above all gods. Psalm 95:3. For he is our God. Wow, now it's personal. He is our God, Psalm 95, 7. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Why? Because you will never have anything greater than to know God is your God. He is personal. He has your fingerprints, all different from everybody else. He's focused on you directly. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Say the word present.
Present.
You mean he cares about my next exam? Yes. You mean he cares about the fact the guy I thought I was going to marry just disowned me? And now I'm just feeling so rejected? Let me tell you something. There's no greater thing than to know our God is present all the time. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, stop and think about this. I'm over all of that for you personally. Here's statements God will never say to you. Oh, I didn't know that would happen. Oh, no. Oh, no, the government's shut down. Oh no, what are we going to do if there's a collapse in our economy? How am I going to feed that next sparrow? You'll never hear God say these things. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Do you know that God will sustain you all the rest of your days? Do you know if God formed you for 9 months, he's going to help you the rest of your days as you walk through here and you keep acknowledging him and you keep saying, God, I couldn't provide that $80,000, but I had to look to you. I had to realize that I have no answer for this problem. I've got to look to you because you are the I am God. My back used to be so bad when I first began this ministry. My back would pull out so bad that it all started with a chiropractor saying, why don't you just work out, play volleyball or something? And I was praying for a way to reach lost people with the gospel where they're at, and I had no idea my back pain was going to lead to this. But I would have to have two men help me out of the car at 29 years old to get in to preach. At 29. And I would have never dreamed in a million years that God would use sports in my life. Because I was always the last one to be picked for a team. How many know what that's like? Raise your hand. And that's why I play by myself, because nobody wants to play with me. So little did I know that God was going to answer the prayer with a back problem. So I started playing people in church for therapeutic reasons. Would somebody play me in the gym to help my back problem? I know what time it is. So anyhow, now that I got so rudely interrupted by my phone, what was I saying? I forgot. What's that? Oh, there you go. So I had to do this for therapeutic reasons. And after 300 games, I started beating church people. And I saw the Globetrotters, and I said, they don't preach the gospel in a gym. Maybe somehow I could use one guy against the team as an exhibition and go around the country and do this. And so I called up a public school just out at random where I was going to preach a revival meeting. My back started feeling better after 300 games. And God helped me through. Now I'm beating six people. Never could have cared less whether I won or didn't win. I just wanted to get my back feeling better. And I was praying, oh God, how can I reach more unsaved people? They need the gospel so bad. And little did I ever think that God would have a public school, the first one I called, say to me, I'm booking you because I want to see you do that. So I played a girls' team, a boys' team, and a faculty team. I have so much fun. When I play the teachers, no homework if I beat them. They start screaming for me to beat them. And they're clapping, and I'll say, they don't know why you're clapping, because you don't do your homework anyhow. And so I have all kinds of fun in the gym. Little did I ever think that God would take that one school and lead to 6,000 assemblies. I mean, it's all God. There's no way a body could do this without God doing it. My wife had to drive one time, and I was laying in the back seat. She was driving, and I was laying in the back seat, and every time she went over a bump, it was killing my back. I said, honey, let's get off this exit, get a night's rest. I walked in the hotel lobby, and I'm like this. And the lady at the desk saw me coming. She said, you have a back problem. I said, no, ma'am, I enjoy walking like this. It's fun. She said, I've got a chiropractor who would see you. Yeah, it's 7 at night. I don't want to pay a doctor's bill right now anyhow. She called him up. There's a man in my lobby in pain. He took me in. I walked in, and he put me on a table. Now, if any of you have ever been to a chiropractor, raise your hands. You know, and all the things they do. Well, I'm laying on the table waiting for his adjustment. And he put in the ceiling a sticker that said, Jesus saves. Now he began to think, what's he going to do to me? Could have said, prepare to meet God. I'm about to adjust you. Well, they always talk to you to get your mind off the snap so it'll snap right. And they don't want you holding back, so they'll talk. So he said, what do you do in your life's work? I said, I travel the country preaching the gospel and doing assemblies. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He said, so am I. I went to pay the bill. He said, take it as an offering to your ministry. I got in the car, had a night's rest. My wife kept driving the next day. We went 4 hours. I said, honey, my back is a little better. Let's find another chiropractor. Pulled off an exit, never been there in my life. I saw a sign, chiropractor. I walked in. He said, you're in pain. I'll take you right in. And he was as friendly as the other one was. He said, what do you do in your work? I said, and he asked what my career was. I said, well, I'm a preacher, I'm an evangelist, and I do assemblies and see young people come to Christ. He said, you're born again. I said, yes. He said, so am I. And he didn't charge me anything. I got in the car. I said, honey, God took care of us again. She kept driving 7 more hours. I said, let's find one more chiropractor. God, to make the story short, God led me to a third born-again chiropractor who didn't charge me anything. You say, what'd you do after that? I went to a Cadillac dealer and told him I was a Christian. No, I didn't do that. But you say, what are the chances of finding 3 Christian chiropractors in 3 different towns you've never been in before in your life when your back had an... God is. That's the only explanation. We want a movement. Then young people have to know God is a resurrected Savior. God came out of the grave, and that's what makes it different than any other faith. I have a God who is. Say, God is.
God is.
Say it again. God is. I came back from a meeting. I was so tired, I fell asleep at the wheel. I do not recommend this. My car veered to the left. I'm on a dirt road, the width of my vehicle. And I said, thank you, God, when I woke up, you took the steering wheel when I fell asleep, because this road is narrow. There's trees on each side. I could have so easily hit a tree. Thank you for taking the steering wheel. Now, my wife has told me that every time I drive, God has to drive. So I didn't hit anything. And I thought, wow, I must have gone 500 yards. When I turned that car around to go back where I fell asleep, on the main road, it was a mile. And I said, thank you, Lord, that you pilot me. Thank you, dear Lord, that you are a God who is. And I want to trust you all my life. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the I am has sent me unto you. He is near us now. He's a comforter now. He's present now. Yes, we can see what he's done throughout the Old Testament, but how many of you believe this Bible is for us now? Amen. Scott Pauley talked about how we ought to make it all practical. I'm here to tell you God is bigger than the Red Sea. He's bigger than Pharaoh's army. He's bigger than the walls of Jericho. He's bigger than Goliath. He's bigger than the fiery furnace. He's bigger than the lion's den. He's bigger than the flood in Noah's day. He's bigger than the plagues of Egypt. He's bigger than the wilderness. He's bigger than the prophets of Baal. He's bigger than Jonah's great fish. He's bigger than Lazarus in the grave. He's bigger than the storm of the sea. So let's make it practical right now. He is bigger than every addiction. He's bigger than every sickness, every diagnosis, right? He's bigger than every broken home. He's bigger than every past mistake you've made. He is bigger than the chains of sin, the strongholds, the demonic attack, the every lie of the enemy, every mountain that comes your way, every impossible situation, every financial burden, every lost cause, every closed door, every doubt, every failure, every weakness, and even death itself. God is big. Why? Because God is. And say it all the rest of your life. I don't care what I'm facing, God. You made the whole universe. And I don't want to doubt, because every time I doubt, I'm saying I'm an atheist, God. And God doesn't want any Christian to be an atheist. Amen. Right? God is a God. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jeremiah 23, I am a God at hand. That means I'm right here, right now, I'm at hand. I'm not just way off somewhere. I'm right here, sitting right next to you. Often when I'm in a gym, I'll go sit with someone, and I'll sit right next to him. I'll look at him with his 1,000 watching, and I'll look right him in the eye and say, God cares about you individually. You say, how come you came to me? Because God's doing that for every one of you. God is there now. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God, Psalm 40:17. I had fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the future. No. In the land of the past saints? No, in the land of the living. The land of the what? Living. Do you believe God knows you and understands everything? And if you look to Him, He's in control. I got to close soon, but I have got to do this. I'm compelled to do it. A doctor came up to me after a service. I don't know who you are, hardly at all. I just heard you preach, but I want you to come to my office. I went to his office. I had 40 games to play that week. He said, Bob, I just feel led of the Lord to check you over. So he checked me over, and he said, your heart's going 200 beats a minute. I said, I didn't know that. I knew there was a funny feeling in there, but I had no idea it was going that fast. And he said, there's a certain part of the heart that's going too fast. I got to slow it down. And if I don't slow it down in my office this afternoon, he said, the first crowd that watches you will be seeing an exhibition of a heart attack. I said, check me over. Keep checking me over. It took him 5 hours to slow it down. Finally, he slowed it down. And he said, now I'll go let you play, but I want you to have a nurse near you and check your pulse after every game. Well, thank God he got me through the 40 games. Got home and found out there was 2 arteries completely clogged up. He said, you're a walking miracle. He said, but I can't let you go play volleyball anymore for a while. I said, you can say that if you want, but I must realize that God is above all this, right? Now, we're supposed to listen to doctors. Don't misunderstand me. But I said, I feel led that God still wants me to go and preach the gospel and do what I do. I came back to him several months later, and he looked at me and said, Bob, he said, a miracle has happened. I said, what happened? You were going to have a double bypass. We were going to have to put stents in you. Stent. What's a stent? And he said, I was going to have to put a stent in you. But your veins are still blocked, but God miraculously, by himself, opened up 2 new arteries. And they're flowing just like original. He said, I'm going to label this a celestial bypass that God did for you. I said, wow, God is. And he performed it for me. Do I have time to give those 2 pictures? Is that okay? Okay. I won't go much longer, but I know one thing. God's in control of my heartbeat, and he's in control of your heartbeat. He's in control of your life, and you must believe that he is. You must believe that he is. I lived on a side of a mountain. When I lived in New Hampshire, I'm on the side of a mountain. And a culvert got filled up with ice and snow. They call it an avalanche. We lived on the side of a mountain. We're going to show the ice wall, but not yet. So I lived on the side of the mountain, and the ice and snow had built up so much, and an unbelievable rain happened. And the water came over the culvert, coming right toward my house at 2 in the morning. Now, you're going to find out something as you go through life. Everything happens at 2 in the morning. Everything. We woke up by this sound. It woke us right out of bed. We ran down the stairs. Water was coming in the front door. I didn't know what the sound was until I took a flashlight and found out the water was coming over the culvert right toward my front door. My wife ran to get blankets and towels to stop the water from coming underneath. But how many of you would agree? You can't stop water, especially when it's like that. We decided to stop and pray. Isn't it funny how we pray as a last resort sometimes? Lord, please help this water to stop coming under this, because you cannot get flood insurance when you're on the side of a mountain. You can only get it when you're in the valley, because you're not supposed to flood on the side of a mountain. Well, sure enough, we prayed, and then guess what happened? The noise got 10 times louder. I mean, I'm not going to illustrate, you'll have a heart attack. But I literally was so shocked at the sound that I looked out again. It looked like Niagara Falls coming at my house. It was coming like I couldn't get over it. And then we looked at the door, and the water was no longer coming underneath. And I looked at my wife and said, how come it's 10 times worse and there's no water coming under here? God reminded me, didn't you just ask me to stop it? Yes, I did. I'm God. And you must believe that I am. I thought, well, how did you stop this, Lord? It's worse. And then I woke up the next morning and I found out what God did for me. He built an ice wall in front of the door. I went out at 2 in the morning and built that. No, I didn't. God did it. And the water from up above had hit this ice wall that God built and made it come around like this and go to the other side of the road. And I said, God, I've preached for years that God, you could, in our day and age, you could build a wall to fall on the enemy, just like in the, how many believe at the Red Sea that really happened? How many believe it wasn't just a figment of somebody's imagination? How many believe that God actually drowned the Egyptians? So I'd preached for years, if God wanted to build me a wall of water like that, he could do it. And God said, all right, I'm going to give you a form of it right here, because ice is a form of water, and I'm going to build you a wall.
It's 11
a.m. So here it is. God did that. One more thing. God is. Say it!
God is.
Say it again!
God is.
And he's the one that's the only explanation for this. One more thing. I'm driving down the highway, and God is giving me in my heart a burden to preach a message called God Can Do Anything, Anywhere, Anytime. The whole message is in the recording of this church, because I preached it from my first sermon several months ago when I was with Falls Baptist Church. You might know where that church is. How many know where that church is? So I preached that sermon, God Can Do Anything, Anywhere, Anytime. Now, that was on my heart to preach that. I looked up. Now, I was still looking, but I wasn't consciously aware of this at all. And I, all of a sudden, after God was laying it on my heart for several minutes to preach on God Can Do Anything, Anywhere, Anytime, I looked up at this truck that was in front of me. And I saw that truck, and I said, what's the chances of my outline appearing in front of me? So what did you do? I risked my life to take a picture of it. And I pulled out my camera and took a picture. I said, even if I get in an accident, it's worth having this picture. And I took a picture of it. Then five trips I went on since that happened. And I knew some people needed to be encouraged, because they were going through struggles, that they needed to know that God can do anything, anywhere, anytime. So I sent them the picture on their cell phone. I said, look what God put in front of me when my heart was wanting to prepare a sermon on this outline, and it was there it was. Every time, five different times, I pulled over and was led to call somebody to send that picture to him. In five different states, on five different trips. Are you with me? Raise your hands. So in all five situations, every time I shared the story, I pulled back out to go where I was going, and it was in front of me all five times. Now, I'm not trying to be spooky here today, but I believe God has ways of doing things to speak to our hearts and confirm that He is. Amen?
Amen.
Then I got to tell you, there's another chapter I didn't tell the church yet. There's a phone number there, 800 number. I called them up about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I said, I can't believe this truck. It seems to always appear when I need it the most. And I called the number up, and I said, the story about this. He said, we have a chaplain. We're a Christian-based company. And we have a chaplain. We have over 30,000-something employees around America. And he said, we love what you're doing. In fact, the lady who answered the phone has a teenager that's on drugs. And she said, we need to get your message out there. Maybe we as a company, because we're Christian-based, maybe we'll get behind your mission. So she put me in touch with the chaplain. And he told me, yeah, we're going to bring this story to the owner. And maybe they'll possibly help you reach more kids. That happened a few weeks ago. When I got done talking to the chaplain, I pulled out in the highway. Guess what was in front of me? Now, all I'm saying is this. God knows how to encourage us in our life because the Bible is practical, right? Remember Scott Paul? God is practical.